So the idea is to get ready for Rath Yatra, to be in the proper mood. So chapter 12, cleansing of the Gundicha temple. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orisha, Maharaja Prataparudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Nityananda Prabhu, and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan. So, Dwarkadish, my first question. Why didn't Lord Chaitanya want to see King Prataparudra? But now the question is, but Prataparudra is a devotee. So why still?
Externally, he wanted to prove to the world that, we should not. But internally, he was.
Very good. Externally, because a lot of people aren't going to know that he's devotee. They're just going to see for the fault finders, the nitpickers. So this is something we should note, that sometimes we have to make decisions based on how it is going to be seen. We have to be careful in our decisions. Think, how is... In the case of Lord Chaitanya, it was very important that he not do anything so that people would criticize, because that would ruin his whole preaching. Very good. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised the plan, and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Prataparudra. Does anyone remember exactly how the king looked, the prince looked?
He was wearing a dhoti, from the picture, if I remember very vaguely. He was wearing a tilaka and, nice neckbeard, and he was present with a Vaishnava attire.
And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, because of the way the boy dressed, Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And what was the particular way the boy was dressed that would evoke Lord Chaitanya's... Better than a cowherd boy. Ah, he was dressed to look like Krishna. So that immediately when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he became overwhelmed, which was a good idea, because he embraced the son, and then Prataparudra came, when the son came home, he embraced the son, and it's as good as embracing Lord Chaitanya. Yes. Let's continue.
Prabhupada chanted, this bead, from his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta, and then Gaurakishore Babaji, Jagannathdas Babaji, Bhakti Nara Thakur, all the way to Krishna.
Jai.
So So don't we have that connection to Krishna and then, you know?
I think so.
We have that.
Yes.
You know, that's a good connection, you know, we have. Like you mentioned, you know, just now we mentioned that he has.
Yes.
Then he has been put mercy passed on.
Disciplic succession. Let us continue. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gandicha temple before the Ratha Yatra took place. He then took his bath at Indra Yumna Lake and partook of prasadam in the garden nearby. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gandicha, a Gaudiya Vaishnava washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then the son of Advaita Prabhu, named Gopal, fainted during kirtan, and when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasadam. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone and that it was not the duty of a householder brahmana to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaita Acharya was a monist and that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon, Swarupa Damodara and others took their prasadam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the period of the deity's retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were very pleased. So now, I want you to go to, in this chapter, text number 135, because this is the purport that gives us the proper understanding, the deep meaning of the cleansing of the Gandicha temple. And this is an excellent way, especially the Snana Yatra is coming, so this will prepare us. So on text 35, E mata puradvara age pata jata, shakala shodhila taha ke varnibe kata. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Purport. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gandicha temple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shastaka, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridi Antasto Hi Abhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Let's all chant.
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam confirms this statement. Let's do it together. Srinvatang Svakata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hiyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Param Atma Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So for me, this verse from Bhagavatam is one of many, many reasons to go out and preach, to go and give class. Because whoever comes, I get purified, they get purified. Coming here, I'm getting purified. We're hearing, everyone benefits. It's wonderful. This process is wonderful. So easy. Just sit and hear. That's all you have to do. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Srinvatang Svakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. Therefore, the devotee has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust, in other words, anyabhilashapurna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. And this we're seeing more and more. More and more different types of yoga is being introduced here in America. They're creating all these different kinds of yoga. But the real yoga, hearing and chanting Krishna. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. So here is a preaching point, practical preaching point. Because people will say, I can't see God. I'll believe in God if I can see him. But you have to cleanse your heart. He's there, And you can see him, but you have to do the cleansing. You have to do your homework. But the proud man, no, I want God to come see me. Doesn't work that way. It's on God's terms. And God's terms is, first cleanse your heart, then I will reveal myself. Humility. That's what it comes down to. So this is how we would answer somebody, in case you get someone like that. God can be revealed, but there's a process. We are, Prabhupada and these books are showing the process. But are you willing to take it? Then don't complain that you can't see God. That's like if somebody comes to you with financial advice. Like somebody wants to be a millionaire. You can tell him, okay, I know how to do it, but are you willing to do what the necessary steps are to take it? That's what it comes down to. Let us continue. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. Okay. What we just read is, in order for one to see God, there is a process. You may come in contact with people who say, I don't believe in God until I see him, until he shows himself. And the response is, very well. But are you prepared to take to the process by which God is revealed? Because he's not going to show up on a selfie on your cell phone, and he's not going to appear on a TV. There is a process. And that process is, as we're reading here, cleanse the heart. If you're willing to cleanse the heart, then you can see God. Very simple. But the problem is, most people aren't willing to cleanse the heart. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. In other words, householders, they're allowed to make money. But when it says inordinate, that means you're doing it illegally, you're doing it sinfully. Yes. Even when Lord Chaitanya was a householder, he had to go and make money. There's one incident where he had to go, because if you're a householder, you're supposed to make money. And there's another incident where he told one devotee, you make money and take care of this other devotee because he doesn't know what he's doing. So the point being, there's nothing wrong with making money, provided... But not only that, but you also have to acquire it properly. Because if you do it through sinful activities, that money is going to be bad karma. You understand? It has to be done properly. Let's continue. An inordinate desire for economic, also greed. Now, one should not become greedy. That's another thing. What you need, okay, be happy, be comfortable, but don't be greedy. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. Yes. There has to be a balance. You have to spend time, not just making money in your spiritual life. But I know people, they'll say, I don't have time for this. I have to go and make money. That's not intelligent. Yes, make your money, but also make sure you have some time for your spiritual life. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sangsara Vishanale Divanishi Hiyajvale Judaite Nakainupai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus, the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how, life after life, they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Therefore, that verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 14. This material energy is insurmountable, but one who surrenders to Krishna, he can easily cross. So that is our philosophy. We want to cross over this material existence by surrendering to Krishna. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. So if you were to meet Obama, Putin, any of these leaders, here is what you could preach. Dressed as you are, and you would say, the only way to solve all miseries, Krishna consciousness. Chant the holy name. Repeat after me. Obama.
Yeah, Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Marama, Hare Hare. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. And it's a fact. It was stated. Right after 9/11, all of a sudden, all the churches became filled. Because that 9/11 woke people up. All of a sudden now, the churches, people were, they got scared. And when you get scared, what happens? Oh God, save me, help me. But we do that every day. Every day, we're calling out. Of course not. Because you have reached a higher standard. You've given up sinful life. As soon as you give up sinful life, you're liberated. Just by giving up sinful life, you add chanting Hare Krishna, now you're completely transcendental. So the first, you have to give up sinful activities. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadhavo hridayang mahyam sadhunang hridayang tvaham. That is spoken by Lord Narayan to Durvasa Muni. He was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra because he tried to kill Ambarish. But we all know from Bhagavad Gita, Konteya Pratajanahi Name Bhakta Pranasyati. So he sent the Sudarshan Chakra and it was chasing Durvasa, and it was right there wherever he went. Lord Shiva could not give him shelter. Lord Brahma, he went to Narayan. Narayan said, can't help you. And this is what he said. Devotees are in my heart, and I am in the heart of the devotees. The devotees only think of me, and therefore I only think of them. So that's another answer. People want God's blessings. You want God to bless you? Start thinking of him. Start praying to him. Start serving him. Then he'll notice you. And that's another thing of Bhakti Sanatana. Don't try to see God. Act in such a way that God sees you. Therefore, devotional service. Yes. Yeah, Mangalarti. Jai. Haribo. Impersonal speculation, monism, or merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities. Nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. And what is our motto? Kirtaniya, always, because you do it out of love. We're beyond liberation. Beyond liberation. They're trying to get liberated. They're trying to become liberated. But we already liberated, and the proof is, we always want to chant, we want to serve, we want to always be in Krishna consciousness. Not that, you know, like most people, they get a job or they go to college, and then, but they don't want to be at the job. You don't want to be at the job 24 hours a day, huh? No. You want to relax. But there's no relax from devotional service. The devotee wants more. There's no vacation from devotional service. Like somebody seriously wrote me, I think several months ago, is there some stage that is, I don't have to chant? They were thinking that there's a higher stage that now you don't have to. And I said, no. The advanced stage is you can't chant enough. That's the advanced stage. You can't stop chanting. Not that there's an advanced stage where I no longer chant. That doesn't make sense. That means your thinking, chanting is material. Because something material, after a while, it's like, okay, enough. It's time to come home, like she's going to say. Come on, you've been there till 10 o'clock. Come home now. Okay? My wife's the same way. Sometimes she's at the office till 10. I call her. Come on, come home. What, you want to put a bed there and work? Yeah, so, but from chanting, no, we want more. No. Okay, we did that. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way. Let's do it together. Tanahang dvishatakuran sangsareshu naradaman shipyam yajatsaram ashuban asurishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come in. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. And this is why, if you ever get the question from somebody, why do devotees fall down? Now here's one explanation. Sometimes the subtle desire. So we have to be careful. One often... What, he's coming. Coming in this purport. This is a complete purport. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. But the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault finding. You and I have lots of experience of this. Lots of experience. No need to go into details. Okay? And pratishtasha, the desire for name and fame and for high position. That is the root problem of a temple you and I know very well. That is their root problem. The desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva hinsa, envy of other living entities. Nishidachar, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtasha, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. In other words, imitation. We should not try to imitate. We're honest. We are who we are. We're trying to be sincere devotees. We don't pretend to be something we're not. Just be honest, straight. It's good enough. It's good enough. And this happened. This happened in ISKCON. This happened. Thinking they were this and this and this. But then it was revealed. You're not. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. This way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar, incarnation. The word jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakar, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. So this is our job, Dwarkadish. Our job is to educate. That's all we're trying to do, educate. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. So, Dwarkadish, you have a desire to preach, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That means that's a good sign. You're not guilty of jivahimsa. That long as you have that desire to preach, that means you're being blessed by Guru and Gauranga. I think I told you that last time. That is the real ashirvad, that desire to want to preach. May you never lose it. And if anyone discourages you, I will curse them. You let me know if anybody discourages you, then I will curse them. I don't want anyone discouraging you from preaching. I'm just joking. They do?
Sometimes they curse. But Gautam, sometimes they are cursing these and so many.
You mean rishis?
Rishis, curse is always good for them, but not so many.
I don't.
You are not supposed to.
But I'm just showing.
No, I understand. I'm not talking about this one.
What he's saying that, you know, that is our main business. Is there any, somebody trying to discourage you?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Maya bodies, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, or meat.
A professional guru
means that you're seeing it only as a business and not for actually giving people education. In other words, yes, ISKCON, every temple has their priests. That's all right. But my main goal should be that while I'm doing this, I must also give some spiritual instruction, not that it's simply business. You see the difference? In other words, a doctor, he gets paid, but he also has to treat you properly. right? He can't just say, ah. And that just, there's a case now. A doctor was recommending all these operations for people who didn't even need it. He's now being sued. Somewhere. It came in the news recently. I don't know where. In America somewhere. He was recommending, you know, hundreds of surgeries for people that didn't even need it. Just to make money. No. If I do a puja, if I there also must be some spiritual aspect to it. I must emphasize that, yes, we're doing this ritual, but there must be some Krishna consciousness there. You follow? You see the point? Not that, you know, give me my money and go away. No. Yes, you're supposed to remunerate the priest, but the priest has to think, I'm doing this, now how can I use this situation to inject some Krishna consciousness? Okay? Is that all right?
So the main goal is to give them Krishna consciousness. The remuneration, as you mentioned, that is the second goal. That should not be the
yes,
goal.
Yes.
When we have that understanding, then it is.
Yes. It will depend on the person. Because some of them are just for money. And they're not following. And they get exposed. You know, they get exposed for being cheaters. Yeah. And yeah. So it depends. It's a case by case thing. Okay? Shall we continue? To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind, oh, now this is great. Because in the 60s and 50s, we used to always say, cool man, cool man. Here it is. Yes, we want the mind. Prabhupada is using that term. It is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. So this is what you were hinting at. You have to set the example. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. So, Dwarkadish, for your Radharaman people, you're like an acharya for them. No, serious. I'm serious. And just like my wife always gets on my case. A, you're representing Srila Prabhupada. Behave properly. So it's you should see yourself like that. That for these people, I have to show them by my example. Like that. It's a very serious responsibility.
Same time, you know, I have some material desires also. So you know, I mean, other day I was giving them a lecture, you know, and then there was in that lecture there was something happening, you know, about material desire, you know, and then says Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, sometimes people go watch cinema and, you know, there is so many disturbances, you know, to take your mind away from there. So I told them, you know, that I also have some material desire, like I like to watch TV and I like to watch cinema, you know. So everybody says, there's nothing wrong in that, you know, we are also watching, you know. But I said, no, as a preacher, you know, I was very candid with them. So I need to be very careful about, you know, I'm trying to cut down my material, all those material desires. But I do have some material desire.
With those material desires, you have to dovetail it. In other words, you should be watching things that somehow will be able to assist you in your preaching. You have to dovetail that proclivity. Only you'll be able to figure it out. Take that so-called material desire and somehow dovetail it so that it's not just simply...
But say, for example, you know, in my case, I like to watch TV, you know, I like to watch Hindi movies. It has nothing to do with dovetailing the...
But you can. There's an art. Because later, you can see and...
Oh, yeah. I get some
answers.
Which I can dovetail.
There you picked. See, you got it.
Yes.
You got it.
I do that. Yeah.
If you have the knowledge, any situation... You can use it to preach. It's like Janavi. Janavi and I like a certain TV show. And from that TV show, I can utilize incidents from there to preach Krishna consciousness when the time is appropriate. So it's... Yes, and use it as a platform to explain some aspect of Krishna consciousness. Because in this particular show, greed and power and envy is all there. And then say, see, Harvey is demonstrating his ego. Right? So in that way, you have little... brought it into focus, Krishna consciousness.
And this is very power-hungry.
Yes. Yes. Okay? Okay.
You know, Lila wants to say something. But yeah, I think, yeah, one more thing. It's sometimes, you know, you have some aptitude. Like, say, for example, Lilavati has an aptitude very... very much involved in deity worship, you know, cleansing the temple, cleansing, you know, things like that, which I don't have that aptitude.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying, so for generally in our Indian culture, women generally do that. But if you don't develop that aptitude, then how you will come...
Because there are so... There are 9 processes of devotional service. I'm the same way. But even if you have only one item, just maximize that. So maximize your hearing, your chanting, and your preaching. Maximize that. The whole goal is to just to be 24 hours engaged. And as you get older, you will be inclined to a particular kind of service. But you do, RT.
Yeah, I do, RT.
Okay.
Dressing, I'm talking about the dressing.
I also. That's all right.
I don't know, you know, we don't know. When we go to the other temples, you know, we don't know that dressing part. You know?
It's all right. Your strengths. Go with your strengths. Just like an athlete.
Yeah,
they don't always do everything. Not everybody's a 5-tool player. But if you have one thing, you perfect that. It may be sufficient. If you want to broaden, nothing wrong with that, but that requires training. That's all. This requires training. And then gradually it will become habit. But it takes time. And that's more surrender. That requires more surrender. Yes. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha navritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. So there's 2 more chapter summaries that we can read. Won't take long. Okay, hold on.